It's a blessing to study the Word of God together as a congregation, but I want to highlight that a lot of people work behind the scenes throughout the week and this morning in order for us to experience the truth of God's Word, whether we're declaring it in worship or hearing it and responding to the teaching. So I just want to acknowledge everyone that's been a part of making this possible. It's a privilege to study the Word together, to know God together, and let's see what the Lord will show us today. Pastor Matt has been leading us in this study of Genesis, as we have looked at it already for 2 weeks. And in the first two studies, we see that God created the heavens and the earth. It's our understanding that Satan, having raised up his demons with him, that a third of the angelic host rebelled against God, attempting to be like God and actually to take the place of God. Well, when they did that, they were cast down to the earth, and that brought great destruction on the existing creation at that time, totally disrupted the original creation. However, we've seen that God also is restoring creation and placing us as human beings on the planet to exercise authority and dominion here. That gives us divine identity. We're made in His image. That gives us divine purpose. He has something for us to do, and therefore we have divine responsibility. Again, Satan attempted to disrupt God's plan by tempting the first people to rebel against God just as he had done. But God came into the world through Jesus to make it possible for us to have a right relationship with God. And as a result, we can experience our life not with self as God, but with the strength of Christ within us for whatever we face. So today, let's discover the way God restored the earth through the days of creation as we have listed in Genesis 1, and see how we can fulfill God's purpose for us through Christ. There's a song that has been meaningful to me for many years, and we'd like to sing just the chorus of it together. It's an invitation. It's a prayer as we approach the Word of God. As Kristen sings it, let us join her then afterward as a congregation as our prayer.
Ancient words, ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts, oh, let the ancient words impart.
Together.
Ancient words ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words impart. Ancient words ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words impart.
Heavenly Father, creator of heaven and earth, we come to you again and ask that you would shine your light. Let there be light on our lives and the truth of your word today. Thank you for Jesus being the living word, and therefore we pray in his name. Amen. Well, let's look again in the beginning. as we turn to Genesis chapter 1, and note in the center screen there will be visuals that help us connect with the words of this scripture. Genesis 1, 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Note, as we see God's work here, that this is a creation with the word bara, B-A-R-A. It means to create something from nothing. This was God creating the world, the universe, out of himself, as it were, expressing himself by speaking it and making it into reality where we live. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. But we also understand that the creation was disrupted by Satan's fall to the earth, and the scriptures indicate some kind of a great flood was involved. Note, it says there were waters. There were waters, and the Spirit of God was hovering over them. Genesis 1, verse 2. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. Water, flood, total disruption, formless, no order, desolate, wasted, it was out of order. The earth was also empty or void. That is, it was lacking what was originally there. But darkness is more than the absence of light. We're talking about evil presence. It was dark. It was evil. There was the lack of the awareness or the manifest presence of God. What follows then in verses 3 through the remainder of the chapter is where God now recreates or restores what was disrupted. Remember, God is revealed here as Elohim, the name Elohim, and anytime you have I am at the end of a Hebrew word, it's plural. So it means more than one, functioning as one. Elohim is the one who created. And so that means that Christ was also there in that creation. And as was just mentioned, the Holy Spirit is hovering, brooding over the waters. This is worthy of note. God created order and then filled it with abundance. This is our theme for today. Order and abundance. God creates order and fills it with abundance. We can look at the 6 days of creation with this chart that helps us to see the first 3 days and then days 4, 5, and 6. And notice the structure here of order, creating space, and then abundance, filling it with, filling that space as we see, leading up to the seventh day. We notice God uses the word let here, and let is the idea of making something visible or something appear that already existed. It was there, and now we see it. And so when we say let, we are calling forth something into visibility. These things were out of order, in chaos, but God was putting them back into the original order. Well, verses 3 through 5, let's read what it says. Then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And then he separated the light from the darkness. He separated it and called the light day and the darkness night. And that was the first day. We'll notice a pattern here of the days being the evening and then the morning making a day. It speaks to us of a pattern, really, in God's economy, that first we rest at night, which then prepares us for the day. I think sometimes we've gotten that reverse. We work hard all day, and then we try to rest at night. Well, think of it. I'm resting tonight to prepare for the morning. Well, continuing, after creating light and bringing light into being, we read in the next section, God said, let there be a space between the waters to separate the waters of the heavens from the waters of the earth. This created atmosphere, and that's what happened. God made a space that separated these waters, and now we have waters above, clouds, and waters below. Next, God created land. Then God said, let the waters beneath the sky flow together into one place so that ground may appear. And that's what happened. God called the dry ground land and the waters seas. And God saw that it was good. Remember, if something is good, as Pastor Matt said, it is functioning the way it was designed to function. The idea is, when something is good, it has the ability within itself to totally be itself or fulfill itself. So when we say God is good, we are saying God can fully be all that God is to us. And God is saying this creation is good. So we've created the space, we've created the order, and now God's going to fill it with abundance as we look at the next section, as God now adds the light appearing in the sky. Then God said, let lights appear in the sky to separate the day from the night. Let them be signs to mark seasons, days, and years. And so we now have the sun and the moon being visible again. It's not like they weren't there before. They're visible again to govern and rule the way we conduct our day and night. Next, God is going to fill the land. So then, the water, rather. Then God said, let the waters swim or swarm, notice the abundant word there, swarm with fish and other life. Let the skies be filled with birds of every kind. So God created great sea creatures and everything in the seas and filled the air with birds. We have all kinds of fish and all kinds of birds as an expression of God's goodness. Next, God created the animals. Then God said, let us, let's add people to this now. We have the animals. Then God said, okay, here we go. Thank you. Then God said, let the earth produce every kind of animal, each producing offspring according to its kind. And so the whole idea of filling the land with the animals, and then the crowning creation is us. Let's look at how the Lord states this in verse 26. So God created, let us make human beings in our image to be like us. Image means we turned out the way he imagined we would. We're created the way he designed us, but we're also like God in various ways. They will reign over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air. We're here to exercise dominion. So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Male and female, he created them. So God put these things in order, and then he fills it with abundance. The screen shows us here in verse 31. So the creation of heavens and the earth and everything in them was completed. On the seventh day, God had finished the work of creation, so he rested and declared it holy. It's a blessing here in our congregation. Over the last year and beyond, we've been worshiping God in holiness and declaring the holiness of God, even as we did today. This is an expression of the fullness of God and the purpose of our being created. He called it holy because it was the day he rested from all the work of his creation. Exodus 31:17 also refers to this, where it says, in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, but on the seventh day he stopped working and was refreshed. God rested not because he was exhausted or weary from labor, but with a sense of satisfaction, of completion. Ah, things are restored. I have been able to put abundance into the order that was originally designed. So what does this principle of creation show us about the way God relates to us who are created in his image and likeness? We see this relationship of order and abundance throughout the scriptures, and we'll mention just a couple as examples. For example, when Moses was giving his final instructions to the children of Israel, as they were just outside the promised land, he made the connection between order and abundance. Let's read this in Deuteronomy 11:13. If you carefully obey the commands I'm giving you today, and if you love the Lord your God and serve him with all your heart and soul, that's ordering our lives according to his purpose, then he will send the rains in their proper seasons, the early and late rains, so you can bring in your harvest of grain, new wine, and olive oil. That's abundance. Or this is certainly an example of to us as business owners, as managers, when we order our services with foresight, integrity, efficiency, and economy, we can anticipate the opportunity to have provision and profit. The psalmist Asaph in Psalm 50:23 affirms, if you keep my path, order, I will reveal to you the salvation of God, abundance. Note again the rebellion of the devil against God. Evil means to tear apart. If something is evil, it's tearing apart. If you put the letter D in front of that, you have devil or the devil. His whole purpose is to tear apart, to destroy, to steal, to kill, to lead to disorder and emptiness. Jesus, in his teaching on the Good Shepherd, alluded to the devil when he said, the thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. but I have come to give life more abundantly. And so we can note this. Jesus came to give life more abundantly. And John in his gospel affirms this in verse 16, chapter 1. For of his fullness, remember the seventh day of creation is fullness. For of his fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace upon grace. When Jesus called his disciples, he called them to follow. It was customary for a rabbi to search out and choose disciples and ask them to follow. To follow was not just to walk around and watch what he did, but to embrace the same vision, to embrace the same values, the same sense of mission about life, to order their lives the way he ordered his life. So when Jesus said to Peter, a fisherman, follow me, he was eager to do so because to be invited by a rabbi, that was special. But notice what Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. In brief, he was saying, if you order your life the way I direct you, I will empower you with the ability to fulfill your divine identity, your divine purpose, and your divine responsibility. So we may want to note it this way. Jesus calls people to follow him in order to order our lives according to his purpose for us. Just like for Peter, it enlarged what he was doing into a whole new dimension. He will do that for us as well. But let's think about it more personally. What if you or someone you know is experiencing lack or emptiness in some aspect of their life? Does this not point to a need for order? It can be a signal to look for how to order our lives. Concerning finances, for example, Marion and I are working with a person who can never make it to the end of the month on their present income. Something is out of order. That is not abundance. We also see others who have taken steps to reorder their income and spending and see them find new levels of provision. Take, for instance, a person who disciplines their eating habits, finds ways to exercise, gets enough rest, and is able to say, I feel better than I've ever felt before. I have energy, I feel more positive, I like who I am. I feel much more like giving to others. That is abundance. Consider the story of Bill. Bill was working in a mindless, low-level job as he understood it, and he was pretty depressed about it. It had been several jobs like this, and he felt like he was not getting anywhere in his life. One day, he felt so depressed, he just clocked out of work early as sick and went home, got in bed, and pulled the covers over his head. He just felt totally depressed. He was able the next day to get up and go to work, and it was interesting. There was a whole new group of workers came in just for a temporary assignment in that business, and he noticed this one man named Jim. As Bill watched Jim, he noticed Jim was really dressed neatly, even had a shirt with his name embossed on it, Jim, and he came on time. He carried out his work. When there was a break, he took the break, but he was always back working at the end of the break just on time. You noticed at lunchtime that while he had an old style lunch pail and so forth, he was very careful to clean up the area on the table he had used, not like some of the other folks around the business. He began noticing that Jim never gossiped or complained about anything. He just steadily did the job that was in front of him. The work he was doing may have been common, but he wasn't. He did his job with dignity. Well, when the temporary workers left, Bill was still impressed with Jim's example, and he began to order his life by doing similar things of working on time and making the connection for the rest of his day of doing what he saw was right and upright. His supervisors noticed this and they began to promote him. He was promoted from position to position, and then he decided to promote himself and he got another job. And he went from job to job over a period of years until finally he had the confidence and the capacity to start his own business. That is abundance that came from reordering his life. If we establish order, it opens the way for abundance. Having an encounter with God through listening and responding to begin the day is something that's been important to Marion and me for many years, and I know many of you do the same. But let's just highlight it this way. Even if it's just for a short time, it's very important to make that connection with the heart of God and then carry that connection with us throughout the day. I like to think of it as presence-based living, of being attentive to the Lord's voice throughout the day in every matter for how he might prompt me to order my life, that he might fill it with his presence. God desires for us to live in the fullness of day 7 of creation, in the rest and satisfaction that we have what we need to do that God has purposed for us to be able to be and to do that. God fills us with what we need to walk in the steps he orders for us. We find that any aspect of our life being empty or needing to be reshaped can be filled with God's Spirit. It starts with our inner life. If something's out of order and it needs to be filled, we start with our inner life to correct that. Gordon MacDonald is an author, and he says it well with the title of his book, Ordering Your Private World. And he has many suggestions in there of how to do so. So as we spend time with God, ordering our private world, it's important also to have times of just solitude and silence. Solitude is simply being alone with one person, God. Silence, of course, is being quiet, not speaking. There might be some other sounds around, but it's I'm being silent before God. This week, I just intentionally spent some extra time I'm just going to be with God. Didn't say anything, not asking anything, just listening. And whether he says anything or not is not the point. Just being with God. And that adds a strength, a confidence, a presence, and complements our study of the Word and prayer. It makes our prayer more fruitful. So, in that setting, we receive the guidance to order our lives and the confidence that God will work through us. So, this is worthy of note. Ordering our inner life with God prepares us to receive God's provision. Ordering our inner life prepares us to receive God's provision. So let's check our own lives. Perhaps the Holy Spirit's already drawing our attention to some area of adjustment in our lives. Now let's consider this question. How may an area of emptiness in my life be pointing to where I need to see the order Jesus has for me? Why don't we practice a little solitude and silence right now and just reflect on that question and listen for the Spirit's voice. When we have prayer later after the service, you may want to seek prayer along any area that needs to be put in order or filled with God's abundance. There's the other side of this too, though. When we order our lives, this prepares us to share from God's abundance with others as the Lord directs us. So let's consider this question. Where I have abundance in my life, how may the Lord be directing me to share that fullness with others? Where I have abundance in my life, how may the Lord be directing me to share that fullness with others? Well, just as God created things in the beginning and said, let, I would like to say, let there be order in our lives according to God's plan, and let there be an abundance in our lives to fill that order. Jesus Christ existed before everything or anything existed. He also was present and active in creation. He is supreme over all of creation. And through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. Everything was created through him and for him. He, the Creator, is calling us to follow him, to order our lives as he designed them, and he gives us a personal purpose to fulfill. And one of those is to share that life that Jesus has for us with those who have not yet acknowledged him. You may not be aware of it, and perhaps you were, that starting Friday evening at 8 p.m., through last evening, Saturday at 9 p.m., there were 25 hours of the church gathering around the world globally in different locations to worship and to call us to share the life of Christ with others. It was a powerful time. I tuned in at different points along the way. And so, as a congregation and as individuals, we'd like to make a confession of faith. You know, throughout the history of the church, there have been various confessions written of what we believe, and the church has declared that. Let's make a confession today of our faith. And those of you online, I invite you to join in agreement. As we do so, we're inviting anyone who has not yet responded to Jesus' invitation to follow me, or if there's your life has gotten totally out of order and you need to again return to the order God has for it, we invite you to join in this confession. And as we make it, he stands ready to receive you and to restore you. So as we consider this together, let's make this our confession of faith. Together, we believe that God created the heavens and the earth. We believe we are created in God's image and likeness. Because of sin, our lives were out of God's order. We believe that Christ, who all things, came to the earth as a man, born of the Virgin Mary. He died in our place. He was buried in a tomb and was raised to life again. I believe Christ did that for me, that I may follow him. I choose to follow him, to order my life as he directs in the purpose he has for me. His Holy Spirit lives in me to guide me, to fill me with his strength. Thank you, Father, Jesus, and Holy Spirit.
I want to take this opportunity for everybody in here and watching online, if you feel like your life is out of order and you're not seeing abundance in any way, take the opportunity to make that decision to draw the line in the sand and say, Jesus, I'm going to say yes to you. I'm going to find order maybe for the first time in my life, or maybe as a recommitment. He was ordering your steps at one way, at one time, and you just stepped away from it. If that is you and you want to make the decision to follow Jesus right now, it's the best decision that you can make. I found order in 2010 when my life had no order and no abundance in anything. And God directed my path and I slowly found it and I became a new creation. That's what he wants to do for all of us. So if that is you, I want you to lift your hand right now and say, you know what? I need order and I want an abundant life. The ushers have a Bible for you. Throw your hand up in the air and say yes to Jesus. Once you get that Bible, your next step is water baptism. But I think we should praise the Lord for what he's doing in our hearts this morning. Can we just give him another hand? Amen. If you're here and you do need prayer, order is not sometimes a simple thing. If you need someone to pray with you, come down to the front. There will be folks down here that would love to lift that burden up and pray with you. Also, if you're new to Worship Center, you can stop by the Connections Room in the back of the auditorium. Also, if you received a Bible, you can go there as well. And also, if you're a young adult, 18 through 30, Virgil's back there with a hat on. Hi, Virgil. You can stop by there if you're a young adult. All right, let's stand to our feet this morning. One more hand for Jesus, because he is good. Thank you.